Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key today. Insane. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm insane because I correctly noticed that two-thirds of the teams in the NBA make the playoffs. So I'm not trying to talk about an MVP till the whole thing is over. Get out of here.
Can you please not start it off today? It's Friday.
They came in
it's
with that
right.
sound.
He's on it already.
You could have twisted it to something positive.
No.
It's Friday.
No, that's right. Don't try to take a shot at me through production. Absolutely not.
By the way, Chris, if you can see when the crew takes a shot at Max through production, he crosses his feet, and you can just tell
my
his
feet are not crossed.
No, they were crossed at the beginning. You uncrossed
really?
Them.
Completely. You know, Jay would know more than me. He's watching me.
That's one of his tells,
optics
Jay.
Cops, man. I'm just trying to tell you, Chris. I'll be watching out here.
That's one of them tells, Jay.
Yeah.
That's one of them tells when he gets sensitive.
The two of you are the worst. The two of you are the worst. I've never been peeped like this in my life.
You're my boy, though. I'm with you every day for 6 hours.
Of course. Of course, you call me out on it, but you notice things about body language that I'm completely unconscious about, right? And then you make me very self-conscious about it. But it's like Key putting on the chapstick every time R&B comes on. It's true. It's a real thing. He does it.
Every time.
And then thank God Chris is not in studio today. Because I got to like check. Hold on. Are my shoes clean? Any holes in the sweater?
The holes in the sweater, though, that's just God's gift to Chris, though. You gave it to him.
You know what the worst
part
is?
That was a layup, Max. Like, that's just something you can't do. Like, how you going to sit here and lounge back in the studio with holes in the underarms of your sweater?
I didn't know they were there.
Expect me not to say something.
Now, hold on. Now, two things. One is, I did not know the hole was there. It was a hole in the right armpit. Right? However, even with the knowledge that it's there, if I didn't know, or even if I knew and no one else knew, I might still try to get away with it.
You would have got away with it because I'm on sweater. Your left side. The hole was underneath your right side. I would have never seen it.
Yeah, now I could never wear it again.
I would have never said anything either.
It's an expensive sweater, by the way.
Yeah, you need to retire that one.
Yeah, it is. Now it's retired. Thanks a lot. He had another season or two left.
RIP to that gray sweater you wear. It's done.
He had another season or two left in him.
You guys were excited about opening day yesterday?
Yeah, man. Well, I know, Chris, you're a baseball fan.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, the Yankees, Aaron Judge on the second pitch he sees, takes it to Monument Park. Garrett Cole, 6 strong, 11 strikeouts, no earned runs. What is there about yesterday's Yankees performance for me not to be excited about is the better question, Jay.
Because Pat is a Phillies fan. That's why you're
Pat
getting
Pat won't stop, though. The Phillies proud dream. How many World Series championships the Phillies got, Pat? Stop playing that thing. You know
what I mean? Did you see the Phillies against the Rangers yesterday? Just saying.
I saw the Mets.
They
were up, Max, they were up 5-0 in the bottom of the fourth with Aaron Nola on the mound, and they gave it all back in one inning.
Yeah,
all back in one inning. It was 9-5 going into the fifth. It was disgusting.
See, this is what happens on the show, Chris.
If you would have told me that, Chris, I would have never known because no one paying attention to the Phillies. Go ahead.
Well, the only reason I'm paying attention because the Texas Rangers is Chris Carlin's baseball team.
Yeah,
so we were watching it while we were doing our show.
Chris Carlin is
a Rangers fan? How
the
hell did that happen?
It's very, very, very strange. He's a Jersey guy, and he's a Rangers fan.
Nolan Ryan or something? How did he become a Rangers fan?
And you got to remember,
I don't know. I guess he's a masochist. I don't get it.
Rangers? It's just odd. Like, I get a Cowboys fan from Jersey. That happens all the time.
Yes.
You know, it's disgusting, but it happens all the time. I've never heard of a Texas Rangers fan from New Jersey.
It's the most random thing I've ever seen.
I've even heard of weird stuff like, you know, the Giants, because his dad used to root for the New York Giants, whatever it is. I've never heard of a Rangers fan from Jersey.
Nuno, did you say that you used to be a Mets fan?
Yeah.
Is that why I got all the Mets slander yesterday on the text chain, Nuno?
Not me.
Look, half their pitching roster is actually injured. Edwin Diaz. I'm like, we know. I know. Justin Verlander.
We know.
Justin Verlander, I know, on the IL. I get it. We still got a win yesterday. Leave us alone.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Chris, just let our squad do our thing. We don't need the noise. Just let us go to work. You know, that's all I want.
Yeah, I would be a concern, though, Jay. I mean, you got the most expensive payroll in baseball, and when it comes out to Vegas's odds to win the World Series, you guys aren't in the top four.
It's okay. You know,
that,
Chris,
Jay,
we're paying.
A little bit of a concern.
We're paying. We're coming. It's happening in time. We're going to keep paying.
Yeah, y'all gonna keep paying.
We're the old Stiver in the family. That's okay. Listen,
Verlander.
It's early, but it's already time to start talking about what moves the Mets and Steve Cohen gonna make at the trade deadline, because you still gotta add pitching. Still gotta add pitching.
The interesting thing is, the deepest pocketed owner in baseball, you can throw something together, but if the most important thing is that farm system's humming, you know, you got to churn out those prospects, because otherwise you just get expensive and old. You'll compete, but no one puts together like a dominant year in, year out World Series champion through free agency. You add to the nucleus that you develop. Hey, what'd you think of opening day in terms of the pace, guys?
I loved it.
With the clock.
I loved it. I mean, you're talking about the Yankees game being done in 2.5 hours. How could you not sign up for that, Max? That was a beautiful thing.
I was fine with it. I mean, I liked the sped up pace of the game. It was hard for me to find the pitch clock, though, depending upon what network I was watching the game.
I didn't notice it. Now, I had the Yankees game on while I'm prepping this just in, and then while I'm on the air, but we have it on in the studio, I didn't notice the pitch clock visually.
Well, the Yes Network, they popped it up with like 10 seconds or less. Uh-huh. So, like, it varied, right? It was just awkward for me. I was trying to, like, figure out half the time where the hell it was at.
Yeah, well, Jay, I think Major League Baseball intentionally didn't want it in the normal shot for the TV broadcast. I think that's one of those things that they want for the players to have access to, but they don't really want it to be intrusive for the fans.
Why would that be the case,
though? Well, because baseball, a part of the beauty of it traditionally is not being a game that has a clock. Like, that was their claim to fame. We don't have a clock on this thing. And so I think they're trying to cater to some of the diehards that are opposed to a pitch clock or these types of innovations that Major League Baseball is implementing this year.
And but Chris, it's also trial and error. Like, this is a new thing. They're trying it to, you know, when TV first started broadcasting baseball games, they didn't know what angle to shoot it from. It turned out right behind the pitcher, right? But like, it's trial and error right now. They're figuring out how to do this thing.
But if you're trying to reimagine what the sport looks like in the future, why are you catering to an older demographic? Why aren't you catering to a new demographic?
Well, you are with
that
the
part,
itself.
Jay. That part. Like, I'm sitting there looking at what's going on yesterday and all of the action. Guys stealing bases, guys being able to move runners over, old school, driving in runs with base hits as opposed to just home run strikeout. And I love it, because not only are you talking about the game being shorter, but you're talking about more action. And that's really the thing that's kept a lot of the younger casual sports fans away from baseball. So I'm all about the changes that they're making. I would just argue that the changes came, you know, 5 years too late.
Like, maybe this is more something than that.
This is something that they should have been working on. All the other major professional sports leagues have embraced the innovations that have led to their sports being lucrative now. Think about football back in the day. I mean, it was more running back centric. The owners made the decision, we're going to build the game around the quarterback. That's going to be the marquee of the league. And all of the rules are going to be in place to accentuate quarterbacks in the passing game production.
Yeah, but Chris,
now the NFL hasn't been more popular.
Let me ask you, Max. You guys are more traditionalists as it relates to baseball fans, right? Mm-hmm. Is the pitch clock or these changing of rules, is it really bringing more casual fans
to watch baseball? Too early to tell, but eventually it probably will.
You think
so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not even about bringing more fans. It's about even keeping what you got. Like, baseball doesn't want to go backwards.
You're deciphering what you got, though. I mean, you're dividing what you got, because you have an old crew that doesn't like that.
Yeah,
right?
But listen, they're going to have to be some compromises. Baseball as a consumer product is inferior to basketball and football. So is soccer, by the way. Baseball is my favorite because it was my first love as a team sport as a little kid. But I can acknowledge that's the reason it's my favorite, because I came up with it, right? Mm. It is not as good a consumer product for a variety of reasons as football or basketball for television, right? By the way, I don't know why soccer fans have such a tough time admitting the same thing. Same thing applies to soccer. Not as good as basketball or football.
So different.
So, to consume, right? So baseball got to figure out a way to stay competitive heading it. This is like, it happened in 2023, but it's really like baseball just entered the 21st century with this stuff.
Do you think soccer's boring to consume?
Compared to football or basketball?
I mean, but you ever been to a soccer match,
sure,
Max?
Yeah.
Have you, like, a World Cup?
I used to go to Cosmos games back in the day because Pele was playing in Jersey, man. I used to go,
I mean, the environments are insane. It's not as stagnant as a baseball game where everybody's just sitting there.
Once you're talking about the environment, you're not looking at the field. You're looking at the people around you. I'm talking about what's happening on the field. Basketball and football are the evolution of soccer. Soccer's 100 yards, running up and down, but on TV, they're running slowly because it's a big field. Basketball, short court. They're going quick up and down. Soccer, You can't use your hands. There's you have opposable thumbs.
Well, Mac,
basketball, you must use your hands.
You're grappling. You're grabbing. You're side tackling. You're heading balls.
Let's get bicycle kicks. Soccer.
What are you talking about?
There's way more action in soccer than there is in baseball.
Soccer.
Let's put a goaltender there to stop people from scoring. Basketball. That's goaltending.
What are you talking
about? You have to allow people to score. Soccer. The goal is on the ground. Basketball, let's raise it. Show more athletic ability. It's just basketball is
baseball and soccer are not the same. Jay,
to get to your original point, like, is this going to bring in a more casual fan? I think you have a better chance of doing that just because you have more action in the sport. You got more action for every game that's being put on television, and you're going to generate more highlights. And that's how a lot of young fans consume games, right? Even with the NBA, some of the studies, they're not watching entire games. People are not sitting down for 2.5 hours, but what they will do is watch House of Highlights on YouTube, and they'll sit there and check out and see everything that's happening with their favorite players. If you're baseball, if you have more action and your stars making more plays, then you can draw in a younger fan base. I think that's what they're trying to
That's what they're trying to reach out to.
I don't know if it'll work, but I think they have a better chance as opposed to the product that they had the last couple of years.
When you say action, too, the thing about sports, I talked about this yesterday about the UFC, the highest level you can play a sport, the most efficient way is not always consumer-friendly. So in UFC, it turns out the two guys on the ground barely moving for a half an hour is the highest form of fighting. Dana White said, nah, it's not selling. Stand them up. So baseball, the most efficient way to play is three true outcomes. Strikeout, Chris touched on it before. Strikeout, home run, walk. Right?
Yeah, I hear you.
That's not action. That's just guys standing there. So base hits, stolen bases, defensive plays. That's what you're getting now.
But, CeCe, to your point, defensive plays like Hunter Renfro yesterday, right, for the Angels. I mean, that catch he made. Did y'all see that? Like, that went viral last night. Like, that's a viral situation where kids wake up, they see the catch, and they're like, damn. Like, that's a play that gets people talking about baseball. Yeah. Did you guys not see this?
Yeah.
Look at this catch.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Ha!
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Hey, Jay, I'll do you one better. The Victor Robles catch off the Ronald Acuna base.
That was nasty, too.
Which should have been extra base hits.
Yep.
That was unbelievable right there at the warning track. Like, if you're having those, I guess, web gems is what they used to call them. Like, you're having more of those plays, I think it makes for a more exciting, more compelling product. And that's where baseball has been lacking in comparison to the NFL or the NBA.
Just how concerned should the Bucks be with the Celtics? After Jay has this from Granger.
For the ones who get it done, like Max and Chris Canty, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgranger.com, or just stop by.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Celtics whoop up on the Bucks, 140-99. Tatum with 40, Jaylen Brown with 30. Celtics are now 53-24. They shot 22 of 43 from three-point range, moved within two games of the Bucks, who are now 55-22. You look at the schedule, guys. Jay, this was, I want to say, 5 out of 6 for the Bucks, 6 out of 8 games that they've played. second of back-to-back, whereas the Celtics, I don't think they played a second of back-to-back in a couple of weeks. So, you know, going in, you know what's going to happen. Did you learn anything from this game?
I learned about the upside of the Boston Celtics. I learned that Jason Tatum came out of his slump. You know, since All-Star game where he dropped 55 points, 55 points, made 10 threes in the All-Star game, homie's been shooting 29% from the three-point line since. He has been in a major funk behind the arc, right? There's a reason why his name has fallen out of the MVP conversation, and you've had names like, you know, Joker, you've had Joel Embiid, you had Giannis that have ascended. You've almost forgotten that Jason Tatum, before All-Star break, was in the conversation, right? Wendy yesterday in First Take told me that he will be in fourth. He is slotted to be in fourth in that conversation. But I think last night, him making 8-plus threes and shooting the ball as well as he did, that's a great sign for the Celtics moving forward. Because right now, Chris Canty, it's about fighting for the number one seed. The Celtics are two games behind the Bucks for the number one seed with six games left to go in the regular season. And when you think about the way these matchups may go as it relates to pairing in the playoffs – the Celtics right now, if they were still to be number two seed, they would have to go against the Heat in the first round. Dude, no team wants to see Jimmy Butler and these dogs in the first round. Now, the Celtics will still be favored, but you're coming out that series, man, with scratch marks on your arms, claw marks, you're bloody, all that stuff, right? You're bleedy. I just made up a word in the morning. Bleedy, bloody. You know what I mean? So if you think about this. If you were the Celtics in the second seed, you go against the Heat in the first round, and then you're going against Philly in the Eastern Conference semifinals to inevitably get to the Bucks with the number one seed. That's a hell of a path.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay, what we saw last night was twofold. Number one, it's about the Boston Celtics sending a message to the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, we see you at the top of the Eastern Conference standings, but make no mistake about it. On any given night, we can come in here and we can whoop up on you. And if you look at the three games that these two teams have played in the regular season, Boston has been on the right side of two of them, and the one that they lost, Milwaukee was at home, and it went into overtime. So at some point, that starts to creep into your mind as a team, and you just wonder exactly where the Milwaukee Bucks are at. I keep saying this is a different team from when they won the title. They had Chris Middleton. He was a guy that you could rely on to go for 20 on any given night. He could also explode for 30 or 40-plus, but – he's not the same player, even though he's had two 30-point performances in March. He's just not. All you have to do is watch the games. You can tell his impact toward this team winning is not the same. The other thing that's a big concern for the Milwaukee Bucks, where's the D, Jay? Where's the D? I mean, back-to-back nights, you let one team score 139, the other team score 140. That ain't going to get it done. So you do have to have some concern about the Milwaukee Bucks. Jrue Holiday has been great. Giannis has been great. But the supporting cast is just not as good as the one that they had when they won a championship.
Tired,
and that's
though,
my
Chris.
Concern. That's my concern once they get to the second season.
I hear you. But I don't think you learn anything from a game like this. I mean, Jay, I hear what you're saying about Tatum. And it's funny in the NBA, the modern NBA, like, remember when Julius Randle had the breakout year a couple years ago for the Knicks? Oh, my God, he was just shooting and making a lot more threes. And that was it. Otherwise, his game was the same. He got hot from outside. So Tatum gets cold from outside, and all of a sudden he falls off. But that's going to, as they say, regress to the mean. Tatum's not going to be a bad shooter because he's a good shooter. But I don't – so, like, that's good if he gets going, right? And what you said about the standing certainly is going to have a huge effect on stuff. It should. But, man, I just – the NBA, I don't know why they have back-to-backs, but when a team – has a real, real tight schedule like the Bucks did. Chris, I hear what you're saying about defense. It's just like they're tired, man. They're tired. They're just tired.
Max, you coming up with a lot of excuses.
It's not
for
just
Milwaukee
one excuse. They're just tired.
We're coming up with a lot of excuses, dog.
So, Chris, here's the hard part, and I hear what you're saying about the defense in the last two games, but since January 23rd, man, they're 25-5.
Yeah.
Like, they've been on such a tear in the league, you know, in that span of time. That's how they got the number one overall seed. Boston slid, and then Milwaukee went on this rip. They started tearing teams apart. So they've been playing at a really, really high level. Like I said, the last several games of the regular season will ultimately determine the standings. And there are certain teams, like, I do not want to see the Miami Heat in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're Boston, you're trying everything you can do in your willpower – to say, hey, we have to find a way to make up these two games to get that number one seed. And we're hoping that Milwaukee, like you're saying, Chris, in these last two games, giving up 125-plus points, we hope that you are tired down the stretch so we find a way to sneak that number one
seed. By the way, I said 5 out of 6. I knew there was something wrong with that. How's that? It's 5 out of 7. But still, yeah. It's basically you're playing almost every night for a week straight. But in the playoffs, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but here's what I'll say, Max. I mean, stacking a lot of regular season wins, that's great. You want to have the best record. You want to have the number one overall seed. But the one thing that I will say to that is that you have to play a certain style of basketball to have success in the postseason. And, Jay, you can speak to this more than anybody. It's one thing to have a great regular season record. But are your dominant traits as a team going to translate to a style of play that's going to make you a tough out once you get to the postseason? I get it. They've got a great record. They've stacked a lot of wins. This team has championship DNA. I don't think this team is as good as a team that won a championship a couple of years ago, thereby being a little more vulnerable than more people want to acknowledge.
What about what Chris just said about the style of play? That's right. You can see a team, a lot of the Hawks from, you know, when
the Knicks was
there.
The Knicks from a couple of years ago.
You could see, they got some regular season win. Well, the Hawks had like 60 wins when Budenholzer was there, and they got swept in the first round or something like that. So, Jay, when you look at this Bucks team, do you see a style of play that translates to postseason success?
I do. I still see a team that the addition of Jay Crowder, right? You still have Bobby Portis. Like they added
Crowder's
Joe Ingles, who sometimes has questions defensively. I get that, but a guy can space the floor.
You
still have Pat Connaughton. You still have depth, right? At the end of the day, though, it comes down to Giannis being Giannis and Chris Middleton trying to find somewhat of that groove with Drew Holiday, right? Like it's the big three. Like, and you need Chris Middleton to be
on the floor.
On the floor.
Yeah,
next version of himself. I mean, he didn't play the first game where Drew Holiday went for 51, 55, I think, 50 plus.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because he's still coming off injury. So him finding his rhythm, I think it's going to be critical.
They got the best player in a series in Giannis. They have depth, as you mentioned. They pick up Jay Crowder. And they got two crime partners, really, for him if they are healthy. All right, coming up, Kevin Durant spoke about his legacy.
He spoke to you, Max.
Man, Belichick's talking to me. KD's talking. Stop. What are you worried about?
It's helping
about
the
I
show.
Think.
It's helping the show out.
Are we buying what he's trying to sell? KJ.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Was that a remix?
Oh, my God.
It sounded like it, Jay.
What's going on
in production? It sounded like it.
What happened?
They want to mess with me asking you where's the defense.
Oh, this is a glitch
in the matrix.
No, you
didn't say where's the defense.
We got the remix on the rejoin.
You didn't say where's the defense, CeCe. I love you.
Where's the D? You see that edit though. That's one of those edits.
This is the best though. So when you said it, I'm not even paying attention to it. Pat in my ear, Pat Costello. Did he say where's the D?
Where's the D?
I'm like, oh, we have a bunch of kids. What's going on?
That's
bunch
one of those things in sports where people sometimes use that and sometimes people think it's hilarious and other times no one even hears it, right?
Exactly.
Like when do we choose to point that, oh, you said D, oh, right? When do we choose to do
but
that?
But Chris, where is the D?
Where's the D? I'm not going to respond to that, Jay. We're going to keep this thing pushing. This is when I look at Max and I ask him to get us back on track with the show.
Oh, no. Max, no. That's not.
Come on, Max.
Yeah, you got the wrong guy.
Wrong guy? You're not going to help me, Max? Okay, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember this one, Max.
No, you misunderstand me. You got the wrong guy to get you back on track, period.
Well, get us anywhere other than where we're at. That's what I'm asking you to do.
Can I get us somewhere? Huh? What's going on in the production crew? What's up,
what's
guys?
What's going on?
Like, do we come here to work today? Can we be professional? Can we do our jobs, Nuno?
Unbelievable.
Nuno, this falls on you. Look, I mean, you are the leader.
Unbelievable.
Look, I'm rusty. I didn't realize I was on the board today. I pressed the wrong button. It happens.
Oh, Pat's on the board.
Yeah,
Pat's
Yates is off. I'm trying to get back into the flow of this.
By the way, he's playing hip-hop and everything.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, Pat.
Look at this. What's going on?
Yeah, we got House of Pain in the first segment. Yeah. That was great.
Of course. Pat, he's the only way he could do it. He's like, fine, but it's got to be some.
House of Pain. Yeah.
by the way, you know what I don't like that we haven't mentioned yet today? Have we even brought up the fact that Aaron Judge, the single season all-time champion, that's right, I said it, hit a home run in his first at-bat?
Nasty.
Right, do you not listen to me when
that's
I talk?
What he said.
Yeah, I was wondering. You may have brought that.
No,
right. Kevin
Chris,
Durant.
Wait, Chris.
No, I got to get us back on track
Chris,
now.
I want you to know, Chris.
I got to get us back on
Chris,
track
Max
now.
Max does not hear anything unless he says it.
Yes.
Did you not understand that?
Yes.
Wow.
That's how this show works.
How's it work? He's the Aaron Rodgers of sports radio.
Sure. Except no darkness
Aaron
retreat.
Aaron Rodgers of sports radio.
So Kevin Durant. Now I'm in a hurry to get it back to Kevin Durant. Spoke about his legacy to The Athletic. Listen to this quote. I don't care about legacy. I used to. I used to want to carve out a lane or space in this game for myself that people can remember, but it's become too much of a thing now. It just becomes too much of a focus on other people. What he's done, what's he done, comparisons. When we wasn't doing all this debating, I cared about it. I'm about to be in the same breath as these top guys. It was big. Nowadays, I truly, truly don't care. I truly, said a lot of trulies just then, just want to go out there and produce, be the best that I could be, go home, hang with my family. That's it. Now, KD is, on the team that's favored to come out of the West right now. Once I left to go to the Warriors in 2016, I figured any logical thing when it comes to me, it's out of the window. When it comes to me, people are not going to think in a logical way or simply look what I've done and say that's it. Mm. They got to add a narrative to it.
Max?
They got to push something to discredit me.
Max?
What?
Go ahead.
Once I left to go to the Warriors, it's been the gymnastics on how to discredit me every step of the way. It's like, damn, that's not even fun no more, like engaging with people because y'all aren't even being truthful. You move the goalpost every time. You expect the most out of me, and if I don't reach it, I'm a failure. It's like, what's the problem? Jay, it sounds like you're buying some of what he's selling.
Man, no, play the world's smallest violin for KD, man. Stop
the
yourself.
The world's smallest violin, yeah.
Dear
what's that,
God.
Jay?
Go ahead, Chris.
No, here's the thing. He's talking about not caring about his legacy. That's easy to say after the experiment that was the Brooklyn Nets failed miserably. Like, you are the face of that. If you didn't care about your legacy, why would you leave an ideal basketball situation with the Golden State Warriors to go do your own thing in Brooklyn? You know why you did? Because you wanted to silence all of the critics that criticized you for joining a ready-made title contender. And so you decided, you know what? I'm going to go do my own thing in Brooklyn. I'm going to be the focal point. Go get Kyrie to come run with me. We're going to handpick the coach, which they did, and we're going to win championships here, and nobody can do anything to discredit me. You can't do all of those things and then come out of the side of your neck and say, well, yeah, I don't really care about how my legacy is perceived or how I'm revered. That doesn't matter to me. Of course it does, and it should, because of everything that you put in to be as great as you are.
Yeah. You know what, though, Chris? Like, so I look at this a little bit differently. I think there was a moment in time where Kevin Durant really did care what everybody else had to say. I think that's why he left Golden State. Because you know that old line, Chris, when you try to please everybody, what do? You please no one, right?
Exactly.
And I think at the end of the day, regardless of whatever, you know, media stuff that goes viral is typically negative. So when, like, you know, you, and as athletes, you're naturally built not to hear the positive. Your ears peak when you hear the negative because that typically motivates you. So the combination of both those things for Kevin Durant, I think it was what he was talking about.
Yeah, but
let me finish. Yeah, I'm just going to say that. I think at that moment now, if you're KD, it's more so about, yo, that stuff will figure itself out when my body of work is done. So regardless of whatever people want to say now, I have to turn that off in order for me just to focus on what's in front of me because all that other stuff was a distraction and I allowed it to influence me. I actually give him credit if this is what it really is. I hope it's what it really is.
So here's the thing about here's the thing about KD, guys. Chris, of course, he's trying to have it both ways, right? Because clearly he leaves and goes to the Warriors. And as you said, it's not just a ready-made title contender. It's a 73-win team that already won a championship and came within a possession of going back-to-back and only didn't because it was one of the greatest players ever.
LeBron.
Greatest moment. And he was screwed up too. And they just, by the skin of their teeth, didn't win at home in game set. You add an MVP-caliber player to that team, any MVP-caliber player, there's no way they can lose, and that's what happened. So he didn't get full credit for the championships from people like me, not because it didn't show the thing you really want to see, which is, can you lead a contender? Not a team that's where they can't lose, but a contender. Can you beat out LeBron when the playing field is even? That kind of stuff. So he goes to Brooklyn, ostensibly, one would think, to show that. Look, I can make my own thing. It didn't work out. Okay. Now he's on Phoenix. But here's the thing about KD. Phoenix is, Chris, a ready-made contender. They were in the finals last year. They have an established thing. They have good players. But great
not
players.
Not last year.
But it's not like the 73-win Warriors. People like me will actually give KD a lot of credit if he chips up this year. So when I hear him say this before the playoffs, it sounds a little bit like he's giving himself a soft place to land in case they don't win. That's what it feels like to me.
So you feel like he's
Max, that's a you problem. Because I'm not going to discredit anybody that wins championships and gets a finals MVP.
I'm not discrediting.
I know how hard it is to win a championship. And that's essentially what you're saying drove KD to go to Brooklyn. Because he wasn't going to get the credit that he deserves for winning the two chips out in Golden State.
Wait a minute.
I disagree with that. But what it sounds like from KD's comments is that it's an admission that those things influenced him to make a bad basketball decision.
Guys,
Chris,
that may well be the case, but I don't want to really hear that from Kevin Durant because of how disastrous it was in Brooklyn. Care about your legacy. So let's not start fronting like you didn't.
Discredit is the wrong word. Because he gets credit for it. Does he get as much credit as someone else who did something on a team that wasn't guaranteed to win?
That joined
that team, stopped him in game seven. I was there at Golden State, stopped him from advancing to a title. He then joined them, and it was a juggernaut team. So it's not that he gets credit taken away. He did. He won a championship. He played really well in both those series. But he doesn't get as much credit, for example, as LeBron James winning a championship against that Golden State team when he didn't have an advantage that was insurmountable. Of course not. It's not you don't take credit away from KD, but that's why what he's doing now adds more credit.
But, Chris, I want to go back to your point for a second because you said, you know, stop acting like you don't care because you did. But he says this in his first line, I don't care about legacy, Durant told The Athletic. I used to want to carve out a lane or a space in this game for myself that people can remember, but it becomes too much of a thing. So he's admitting to used to caring about it.
But, Jay, like, we're talking about here's we're my talking thing, though, Chris, about him caring. We're
well,
talking
here's my
about
thing.
Him caring
if he didn't care
about it.
If this version of Kevin Durant were put it back in that body, his ass should have just stayed in Golden State. I would have won 7 or 8 chips and be like, y'all can shut up. Y'all can kiss my what? Y'all know what?
You know
what?
Exactly.
What?
That's what I
want
to say.
I'm the best ever. I got 7. What?
This
Jay,
is
you
not...
know what it is, though, Jay? You know what it is? I don't want to hear it right now. It's too soon. That's the problem, because you cared about it early this season.
This is not the first time KD has said stuff like this when he was still in OKC. He had a whole thing. Winning a championship is, I have a great life, and it's not the whole thing to me, et cetera, et cetera. He said that basically this exact thing when he was still in OKC before he even got to Golden State. Was he not telling the truth then?
Can we keep talking about this?
The Final Four tips off tonight. Will David slay Goliath? KJM.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to Live Radio. We're portable. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can download the podcast.
Can I finish my point on Kevin Durant real quick, Max?
I didn't know you had.
So, yeah. So, my main thing, Chris, is that if this is the case, today is April 1st, right? I hope this is not an April Fool's joke here going on. But
it is, but
then don't care. Then from this point forward, regardless of what Max says, Stephen A., myself, you, Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, anybody in media, I don't need to hear nothing. Just be an assassin. And at the end of the day, for Kevin Durant, let his body of work dictate his legacy. Because I hope, I pray for as a great of a basketball player as Kevin Durant is, if he adds this missing component to his persona, that's what I'm talking about, damn it. Because that's next level for him. He shouldn't give a damn what anybody says. It don't matter. All that matters is what Kevin Durant thinks about Kevin Durant. You feel me?
Mic drop, Jay. Okay. Nothing else needs to be said.
Okay.
If that's the growth that we're seeing from Durant right now, as opposed to what we heard earlier in the season, then all of this conversation about his legacy and his career and what people are criticizing him about, including Charles Barkley, needs to be put to bed.
There you go. Bye.
Get rid of the burner accounts, dogs.
Yeah, right.
Stop tweeting. Even if he doesn't win,
it don't matter.
No, no, but well, hold on. The reason, you understand, sports, the money in sports even, the salaries, everything, it's not just about. It's based upon the fact that these are the best in the world. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is narrative driven. It's the story. It's, you want to know the characters. You want to know what's at stake. You want to know what the obstacles are, how big they are, what the risks are, how hard it is to do the thing they're trying to do, right? There's a downside, too. There's an upside. So KD has an enormous opportunity right now. He can chip up right now on a team he just got to. That's going to do a lot. You just arrived late in the season, missed time.
He's played seven games in 2023. Right?
It'd be an enormous accomplishment for him to win a championship. And as you say, seven-footer who can do all that, there's no reason he shouldn't be in the MJ, LeBron, Kobe. Right? He should be right there. If he does this, he will be. Like, people will
that's the part where you miss me, Max, because I don't think this changes how I look at Kevin Durant as a player.
Oh, but
it doesn't.
It does for me. This would be the first time he's won a championship on a team that couldn't not win a championship. This would be it.
They were in the NBA Finals a couple years ago.
Who?
The Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, that's right. They were in the finals, but they couldn't get over the top. They are a typical juggernaut conference team. No one wins on a bad team. Of course you need a great team around you to win a championship. The difference with the Warriors were they were in the conversation until they lost by a possession in the finals for the greatest team ever. He joined that and they didn't even really have to lose anything. It was stupid. When it happened, everyone knew no one had a chance.
What if they
That's
didn't win
different.
It? What if they didn't win it?
There was no way for them not to.
No, I'm asking. No, we like to play what if. There are ways that team may not have won a championship. If they wouldn't have won it, what would we have been talking about with that team?
It wouldn't have been good.
All I'm saying is at the end of the day, you're telling me narratives that media members or people like you feel like you need to qualify or validate whether Kevin Durant is one of the greatest you've ever seen. And I'm telling you, if you're Kevin Durant, I don't give a damn what Max Kellerman's narrative is about me being one of the greatest. I know I am one of the greatest to ever play the game. And by the way, basketball players know when it's all said and done, that unicorn is one of the most special players the game of basketball has ever seen. He is one of the greatest. He is up there with LeBron and Michael Jordan.
Is he? Who are the greatest
scoring?
Players? I'm just curious.
In scoring as
forget
a player?
You're
talking about titles and
forget
team
about
championships.
In scoring. I'm asking you. See, this. You might not like that you feel this way.
No.
I'm asking you, greatest players of all time. Who are your top five? Greatest players of all time.
Like, greatest player, like, what are we doing?
You know exactly what I mean. Come on.
You're asking me as it relates to champion. Who are the greatest winners?
No. I'm asking you who
the greatest players in basketball I've ever seen.
Define it whoever you want. Watch this. Chris Canty. Who are the five greatest basketball players whoever?
I'll tell you the greatest basketball players I've ever seen.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
Right.
Number four.
Kevin Durant.
Number three.
I
think greatest basketball players that the earth has ever set foot on. Those are three.
I hope that they have set foot on the earth and not the other.
Whatever.
Way. But
sorry
for
messing up a word.
But I agree with you that I think this is instructive. To your saying, Kevin Durant belongs really in the top three. Jay, I'm saying the same thing. But I don't think history will record him that way.
That's okay.
If he doesn't win a championship from Golden State.
That's fine, because I know that this is a team sport. Mm-hmm. I know that it takes way more than just one of the greatest players, with maybe the exception of LeBron, that carried teams to NBA Finals, Chris Canty. But it feels like in this media world that we live in now, that detracts his greatness. People use that against him.
Chris, who are your top five?
Which is wild
players?
To me, CeCe. He's dragging Matthew Dellavedova and Boobie Gibson to NBA Finals. It's like, well, look at his NBA Finals record. It never compares to MJ.
Which is wild.
That's wild to me.
No. People don't use it as extra credit. People use his finals record against him.
But that's petty if you just – but wait a minute. You got to take it one at a time. LeBron, for me and for many people, I'm not the only one, I look at that series where Kyrie and Kevin Love went down and he got to a game six with that Warriors team. He gets extra credit for that. I look at the Cavs team he dragged to the finals kicking and screaming in 07. I don't care that he lost in the finals. Of course he's going to lose. He got extra credit for that. Where you take a little credit away, and it's
the
not
Miami
taking,
series,
but it's only versus guys like Jordan, is if you're crewed up and you face another crewed up team and you come up a little short, and there was another guy in history who never came up short in that situation, then in a comparison where you're making a hierarchy, he may not be ahead of that guy.
Can you define come up short? Just when you get to the finals? Because there have been a lot of times that Michael hasn't got to the finals.
Every single time. I'm not
debating an overall arching argument. I'm going into the details of it. You make it sound that every time Michael Jordan entered the playoffs, he won.
No.
And
what
he did not. I just want to hear you say that. Let me finish. Did Michael Jordan come up short sometimes, Max?
Never when he had another All-Star with him.
You see?
No.
Oh, yeah, he didn't win it every time he had Scottie Pippen.
You
They didn't win it every time they had Scottie Pippen on the same team.
Excuse me.
Did they?
He wasn't an all-star in those seasons. There were two seasons where Pippen was an all-star and they didn't win. One was the migraine game in game seven against the Pistons. In other words, he wasn't an all-star.
So they came up short.
And two was when he came back with 20 games
left in the
season.
Why is it so hard for him to say Michael Jordan came up short?
Otherwise, he always won the championship.
See, this is what happens to people.
Why are you bogging me down in an argument you can't win?
Michael Jordan came up short. It's okay.
Coming right up.
It's fine.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.